শ্রীমদ ভাগবত চ্যাপ্টার টু প্রেয়ার বাই দ্য ডেমিগড টেক্সট 39 নাম তে অবস্থ
Wow.
there is no need for him to come as an incarnation. Since he is not forced to do anything by ordinary living entity, the living entities come to this material world in the spirit of enjoyment. But because they want to enjoy the love of Krishna will be no greater for one's authority. They suffer birth, death, old age, and disease under the control of the disease of the enemy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of the spirit of the Lord. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary entity, and not uselessly argue that the Lord has come. There are those of us who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation and who ask, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should he not come? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the human? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, Vina Vimodam Patakarayamahi. It is only for his pleasure that he comes. All he does not need. When a living entity comes to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma harm by the Lord's illusory image. But even on the fixed shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, Krishna-rata-svayya-paya-shayakam, one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, after all his fears, because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in the material world. This idea is the reason why we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to take shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. The shelter is described as Abhaya, fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also are not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to this illusory process because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as this eternal person. Therefore, we will practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always worshiping Him, and always chanting about Him, as described in the 8th 57. Srinan Vinan Shamshan Shamshanaman Cha Srinayan. We will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigod, therefore, encourages devotees not to fear master, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who was already created. Om Mahayana Devyanakya.
Sri Rupa, 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 S Sri Radha Krishna Padana Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakha Mritamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mamakrite Jayatan Surato Pangur Mama Manda Mater Gati Mat Sarvasya Patam Bhojau Radha Madanu Mohana Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumadha Srimad Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva Krishthaliti Subramana Marahi Srimad Rasa Rasarandhi Vamsi Vada Tathasita Karshan Venu Svanur Gopi Gopinatha Shrestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaulandi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishadhana Kute Devi Pranam Mami Hare Kriya Vancha Kalpa Tarubhashya Kripa Sindhi Hare Vakya Patitana Pavanito Vaishnavito Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna Is there a second light there? And the Hare Krishna. Yeah, that'll be some. Or maybe lower the volume and close the door. Hare Krishna. Nate bhavashesha bhavasya karanam. Bina vinodam vatata kayamahe bhavo nirodhaha sriparapityaya krita jatastaya ayasrayatmani. O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for misery like birth, death and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. So, this is one of the verses from the prayers of the demigods. The devas, the demigods were offering their prayers to Krishna when he was in the womb of Mother Devaki. Devaki was in the prison of Kamsa. Krishna appeared in a very unique way. Even an ordinary child is born, when even an ordinary human child is born, so much care is taken. Like the mother is attended by so many relatives and nurses and the child is born. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appeared, how did he appear? He appeared in the prison house, and no one was there to attend Krishna. Krishna's mother, Devaki, was in the prison. Her hands and feet were tied with chains. And Purana describes that there was a stone placed on her chest so that she could move. Kamsa tried everything to prevent Krishna from taking birth, Krishna from coming. He imprisoned Vasudeva and Devaki, separated them with a chain, and he placed heavy stones on their chest so that they could move. But still, Krishna appeared. When Krishna wants to do something, who can stop it? And how Krishna appeared? Krishna appeared from the heart of Vasudev into the heart of Devaki. Krishna didn't appear in the womb of Devaki like ordinary human conception. It was a transformation of Krishna from the heart of Vasudev into the heart of Devaki. Krishna stayed in the womb of Devaki. Why? Because Devaki wanted, in her previous life, in Sayambhuva Manvantara, Devaki was Prishni, a wife of a Vasu called Sutapa. And when they wanted to have a child, they performed great austerities for a long, long time. And as a result of that, the Lord appeared in front of them and asked, what do you want? And they desired to have Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as their son. So Krishna fulfilled that desire. Devaki wanted to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a son, and she wanted to become the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the result was, Krishna fulfilled, and in order to give her the feeling that she has conceived him, Krishna stayed in her womb, giving her the impression that she has conceived him. Krishna is in her womb, and he is going to take birth after a certain period. And so Krishna, in this way, fulfilled the desire of Prishni, now Devaki. But the condition was that she was imprisoned along with her husband. Now what does it signify? Less intelligent people think that if you become a devotee of Krishna, then you will suffer. They have a misconception that don't become a devotee of Krishna. Because if you surrender to Krishna, if you become a devotee of Krishna, then you will suffer. But the reality actually is that when you become a devotee of Krishna, then in whichever condition you may be in, you do not suffer. You transcend the condition of suffering. The suffering is, ultimately the suffering is in the mind. Like if somebody may be in a prison, apparently tied up with chains. But if her heart is full of joy, is she suffering? On the other hand, somebody may be living in a palace, but if his heart is burdened with all kinds of misery, is he enjoying? So the ultimate consideration of enjoyment and suffering is not dependent in any external condition. It is actually our internal state of being. So that is the instruction, or that is the understanding that we get from these pastimes of Krishna. Devaki is in the prison of Kamsa, but the demigods are visiting her, offering prayers. Is she in the prison of Kamsa? No. She is on the heavenly planet, along with the demigods. And then Krishna, the demigods are offering prayers. So this is another important thing to understand. Sometimes people develop a misconception, especially nowadays, this misconception has become very, very prevalent, very common. The misconception is that one can become God by practicing yoga, by meditation and Ashtanga yoga and so forth, one can become God. And some unscrupulous people teach like that. You are God. I am God, you are God, everybody is God. Everybody is God, only God is not God. That is their philosophy. Everybody can become God. You practice yoga, everybody, you can become God. But when you see Krishna or Lord Ramchandra or any other incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Nrisimha, Varaha, Kurma, we see that they didn't have to become God. Krishna, when he was in the womb of his mother, he is the Supreme Personality of God. The demigods, the devas from the heavenly planets, are coming to him offering prayer. Or was Krishna practicing yoga, meditation in the womb of his mother, and that's how he became God? No, Krishna doesn't have to become God. Nobody has to ever become God. Nobody can become God. God is always God. And we are the jivas. We are living entities, jivatmas. There are two things, jivatma and paramatma. Jivatma can never become paramatma. Jivatma can never become Bhagavan. Bhagavan under all circumstances is Bhagavan. And jivas are his parts and parcels. This understanding has to have very clearly established in our mind. And here, when you study the scriptures, then it becomes clear. We can see that Krishna is in the womb of Devaki, and the demigods have come and offered prayers to Krishna. And what is their prayer? They are clearly saying in this verse that you do not need to take birth. You are abhavasya. You are abhava. Abhava. Abhava means one who doesn't have to take birth. Or in other places, like in Bhagavad Gita, we get the expression aja. Ja means janma. And aja means one who doesn't have janma. Ajanma. So Krishna is beyond birth and death. Krishna is Shashvat Purana Purushaha. Krishna is the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like if one systematically studies the Vedic scriptures, then these understandings become very clear. But the unfortunate thing is, nowadays nobody studies the scriptures. Even those who are speaking, giving discourses, they don't also study. If they studied, then this understanding would have been clear. If they studied under proper guidance of a qualified teacher, these understandings would have been clear to them. Don't we find in Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna saying? Ajopi san abhayatma bhutanam isharopi san prakriti sham adhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Krishna is telling Arjuna that ajopi san abhayatma. Arjuna, although I am aja, unborn, abhay, inexhaustible, bhutanam isharopi san, the Lord of all the living entities, prakriti sham adhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Taking shelter of my atma maya, my yoga maya, I appear, sambhavami. He is not saying I take birth. Sambhavami, I manifest myself. Now if one studies Bhagavad Gita under the guidance of a qualified teacher, then all these misconceptions will be immediately removed. So what does it mean that those people, those who are speaking on this subject or spiritual subject matter, they do not have any knowledge. They are speaking, I am God, you are God, everybody is God,
But this is nonsense. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. First thing you have to recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You all understand, most of you are Hindi speaking, and you understand Sanskrit. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Swayam means what? Original. Himself. And Bhagavan means what? Bhagavan. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan. Now why there should be any doubt about that? Now if there is any doubt, if there is any other representation, any other presentation, what does it mean? It is a wrong presentation, it's a misrepresentation. So the first thing that one must understand is the difference between a Jivatma and Bhagavan. The Vedic philosophy are basically dealing with these three principles. Vedic philosophy deals with three principles: the Jiva, Prakriti and Ishvara. Three things you have to understand. Who is a Jiva? We are Jivas. And who are the Jivas? Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Jivas are Amsa. Mama Amsa. Means Krishna is telling that my Amsa, my parts and parcels. And they are Sanatana. They are eternal. Jivas are also eternal. Atmas are also eternal. Sanatana. Krishna is eternal, Jivas are also eternal. Krishna is Satchidananda, Jivas are also Satchidananda. But the Jivas are part, minute Satchidananda. Krishna is the Supreme Satchidananda. So how can a minute Satchidananda achieve his Satchidananda situation? By being connected to the Supreme Satchidananda. So these are the very simple things that we have to understand, and they have been very clearly presented in scriptures like Bhagavad Gita. An extensive understanding is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore it is so important to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, when we study, who is speaking Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving a very clear understanding. Krishna is telling Arjun, what is the initial teaching that Krishna is, initial preliminary instruction Krishna is giving to Arjun in Bhagavad Gita? He is telling that Arjun, there was never a time you did not exist, these kings and soldiers in front of you did not exist, and I didn't exist. That means we all are Sanatana. We always existed. You simply change your body, one body to another, transmigration of the soul. Transmigration of the soul or Janmantar. Janmantar. One Janma to another Janma. Janma means accepting of a new body, acceptance of a new body. Mrityu means rejection or departure from an old body. New acceptance of a new body is Janma, and the giving up of the old body is Mrityu. And the period between the birth and death, Janma and Mrityu, is Jivan. So that is how we are traveling in different bodies, from one body to another body. So Bohuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjunaha. Krishna is telling Arjun that Arjun, many, many times you have taken birth. Tani aham veda sarvani nattam veda parantapa. I know about all those births, but you do not. That is the difference between the Jivatma and Parameshwar Bhagavan. Jivatma, when he changes one body to another, he forgets about his previous birth. But Krishna is saying that is the difference between you and me, Arjun. You have forgotten about your previous birth, but I haven't. I remember everything. Tani aham veda sarvani. Aham veda. Veda means to know. Sarvani, all of them. But not tam vetha parantapa. But parantap, Arjun, you do not know about them. So, this is how very systematically, very clearly, Krishna is explaining this science to Arjun. And through Arjun, we can understand it, provided we can study the Bhagavad Gita under the proper guidance. Proper guidance means under the guidance of a qualified teacher. And what does the qualified teacher teach? He gives the actual understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Prabhupada emphatically titled his Bhagavad Gita as Bhagavad Gita as it is. As it is. Just the way Krishna gave and the way Arjuna understood. There is no speculation on that. But if somebody comes and starts to give speculation, oh Krishna, nobody, there was nothing called Krishna. Krishna is unknown darkness in you. Krishna is unknown darkness within you. What nonsense. And the result is, today the whole world is in the darkness of spiritual knowledge. Total ignorance of spiritual understanding. Where this knowledge should have emanated from this holy land of India. But when India is in darkness of ignorance, what's the rest of the world going to be like? That's the unfortunate state of affairs. All kinds of nonsense theories and bogus philosophies are being presented in the name of Vedic scriptures, Vedic understanding. The real understanding must be presented, and real understanding must be cultivated. And that is the most important thing today. And if we go to the scriptures, then understandings become clear. But the unfortunate thing is, what is the scriptures? Today people in India think that these scriptures are mythology. Myth. Myth means what? Myth means unreal stories. Fiction. Myth means lies, stories. So these scriptures have become mythology, fairy tales. Fairy tales. But the reality is that these are dealing with absolute truth. So please take this subject matter very seriously. You got a wonderful opportunity. You got this human form of life. This human form of life is providing you with a wonderful opportunity to understand this science. And as a result of this cultivation of this science, you can transcend your material bondage and come to the spiritual platform. And that is the ultimate achievement of one's life. Then you can very easily transcend this bondage of the material nature, the bondage of suffering, the bondage of birth, death, old age and disease. Don't think that this existence of this material nature is very pleasing. The existence of this material nature is full of misery. Dukkha alayam. This material nature is dukkha alayam. Dukkha means what? Dukkha means suffering, and alaya means a place. This material nature is a place of suffering. So if you stay here, what will you get? You'll get only suffering. But when you get this human form of life, you get an opportunity to transcend this suffering condition. Free yourself from this suffering condition. And you can come to the platform of joy, ananda, anandam buddhivardhanam. You can come to that platform of bliss, joy, ecstasy. But there's only one condition. You have to surrender to Krishna. You go against Krishna, you will invite suffering. No one can save you from that. Just try it. Or rather, you have seen it yourself. The result of defying Krishna. You defy Krishna, you will be subjected to suffering. You may get a lot of money, you may get a lot of big position, you may get a lot of following, you may get a lot of prosperity, but that won't give you anything. Your suffering condition will not mitigate. Your suffering condition in this material nature cannot be removed by any other means but surrender to Krishna. On the other hand, if you just surrender to Krishna, no matter whatever your condition may be, your condition may be poverty stricken, your physical condition may be very weak and frail, your social situation may be very, very degraded, it doesn't matter. As soon as you surrender to Krishna, you will experience the transcendental joy. So that is the reality. Therefore, this opportunity that is coming to us in this particular life, when you got this human form, we must take advantage of this opportunity. And the result will be, we will transcend our suffering condition and we'll become situated in an Anandamaya situation. So it's such an easy opportunity. And that is being presented here by the demigods are saying that when one surrenders unto you, then immediately he becomes free from all his material suffering. And that's why although you are abhava, although you are beyond birth and death, still you appear in this world of birth and death, matsa loka, mrityu loka. You come in the world of death. This world is known as matsa loka. What does matsa loka mean? Matsa loka means mrityu loka, the world of death. This is not the world of life, this is the world of death. Everyone is moving towards death. At every moment we are actually under the grip of the death and we are struggling against death. Life means a struggle against death. Nature here is trying to kill us every moment. And we are struggling to remain alive. And finally we are defeated. We can't struggle anymore. Then we die. But beyond this material nature, beyond this world of miseries and suffering, there is another reality, another world. That world is the world of Amrita Loka. This is Mrityu Loka and there is an Amrita Loka. where there is no Mrityu, there is no death. The Mrityurma Amritam Gamayo. The goal of life is to leave this world of death behind and enter into the world of immortality. So that is possible. That is possible provided we practice the proper process. All we have to do is simply to practice the proper process. Now, is this process very difficult? No. That process is very easy. What is that process? Accept Krishna. Surrender unto him. Understand who Krishna is. Who is Krishna? What is your understanding? Who is Krishna? How many of you think that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not one hand, raise both hands. Those who are completely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You are attending camera and you forget the opportunity. When the time comes, drop everything, even your camera, and just hold your hands up. What does this Hare Krishna Mahamantra signify? What does it mean? This Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it means, O all attractive Krishna, O all Supreme Personality of Godhead, please deliver me from this miserable suffering condition and engage me in your devotional service. So are you surrendering to Krishna? Wholeheartedly? Both hands up means what? When you raise both hands means? Both hands means surrender. Because with our hands we defend, isn't it? Krishna is saying, surrender unto me. You say, no, we don't want to surrender. But when both hands are up, means surrender. No more resistance. No more resistance. Draupadi, you remember the incident? Draupadi was calling out to Krishna with one hand up and holding on to her sari. Did Krishna come? Why not? Krishna was telling Draupadi, okay, you think that you can defend yourself, go ahead, give it a try. But when Draupadi raised both her hands and started to call Krishna, then what happened? Then Krishna started to supply unlimited amount of sari. And Dushyasan, he became tired pulling that sari. He gave up. So that is how Krishna comes to our rescue when we completely surrender unto Him. So have you all surrendered to Krishna already? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So today is Krishna's Janmashtami. So let's celebrate Krishna Janmashtami wholeheartedly surrendering ourselves to Him. Today we'll have many more sessions when you can discuss about this theme of Krishna Katha. And now we will worship Srila Prabhupada, Guru Puja. Gaur Premanande Hari. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki. Gaur Premanande Hari. Srila Prabhupada Ki.